It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. Long weekend this weekend. This is number 411, latest and greatest in data breaching and overreaching. My name is Joey. That's Len. Len, the best Redskins, I mean, formerly Redskins, I guess, now Commanders, wide receiver of the last, dozen years, probably. No, Art Monk is great, but not him. Terry McLaurin requested a trade today. Not happy about that. I thought Dan Snyder left town. It looks
better than Ricky Sanders, better than Art Monk, better than all these.
Better than Ricky Sanders, yeah. But Art Monk was good, but different era. McLaurin's had really no competent quarterbacking until last year. And
Henry Ellard played for the Skins for a year, did he? Or
maybe. That was before my time. I started following the Skins in 2004. So make it that what you will. It was the Mark Brunell, Clinton Portis, Santana Moss.
He played for the Skins for four seasons. And Henry Ellard was a stud, by the way, an absolute stud. He was one of the best ever.
I'll take your word for it. But it's a disappointing day here, and it's too bad because the NFL is on tonight, Len. The Hall of Fame game is on tonight. They're finally
814 catches for his career.
That's pretty good. Almost 1,000.
That was at a time when run ball first was the mantra, and people were getting absolutely slaughtered in the first 5 yards. It's no the way it is now. It's they let the guys run. Back then, if you were able to get to the secondary with your car keys and your head on your shoulders, that's a successful route you ran.
People don't realize. Yeah, they don't realize how much the game has changed. I always like to look at the number of carries guys get in the season. I think the guy with the most carries last year. Let's see. I bet you was under 250. Most.
They used to carry like 300 plus times, didn't they? Like,
buddy, 300 plus? Oh my God, 300 is more than, that is a lethal underselling. Saquon Barkley carried it 345 times last year. A few guys carried it 300 or so times. The most carries in a season, Len, so Saquon Barkley, by the way, I think weighs like 210, 220, something like that. Larry Johnson has the most carries, 410 carries in a season. Larry Johnson was considered a speedy back in his day. He's 6'1", 237. That's big. I guarantee he was not fast. Maybe by that era's standard, but he was speedy.
You didn't need to be a fast back then.
You didn't have to be. It was a system thing, and you know who Larry Johnson this is like way into the weeds here. Larry Johnson was the backup for another famous running back who also carried the ball enough times that he ruined his career in basically three seasons. Do you know who it was? Priest Holmes, which by the way, is a top five sports name of all time. Priest Holmes.
Yeah. He was a lightning in a bottle. He was fantastic for a period of time. Oh man. Yeah.
Great Kansas City backs there running behind a fun offensive line. That was some of the first consistently well done outside the tackle running the Chiefs toss. I'll never forget when I first started watching football, getting Sports Illustrated, when I was subscribed to that, you know, my parents subscribed
the
me to it.
Sweep. They used to do that.
GB sweep was in that article, I think. And the picture Sports Illustrated had of Priest was of these, you know, road grading guys in front of them, and Priest just kind of in the background there, holding, waiting, and watching, right? Awesome, awesome era of football.
Christian Okoye, just a heads up, that guy led the league in rushing, and he didn't start playing football until he started playing college.
He never played
football in his life. He was born in Nigeria, came here.
He was a running back, right? And his son was drafted in the mid-aughts as well. Amobi.
Can you imagine leading the league in rushing? And just a few years before, you've never played the game in your life.
Different time, man. Different time. Oh, my pretty sure God. There's a Disney movie with that that theme.
The guy was a fucking load. That was a load. You know, to take that guy down, you had to like really like work hard. He was just a big boy.
Well, for the four people who are still listening, we're going to get to the quote of the week from last week. It was breathe. Excuse me. I just had a whole large pizza. Breath is a bridge which connects life to consciousness, which unites your body to your thoughts. That was by, I'm going to butcher this. I think it's Thich Natan. Les is the winner. Congrats, Les. And this week's quote, Len: a creative man is motivated by the desire to achieve, not by the desire to beat others. I disagree with that, but doesn't matter what I think. If you know who that quote was by, put it in the comments. Remember, no Googling, no searching online. You can only get your answer by reading the bumper stickers of cars in front of you in traffic, or if you're on the 401, trucks going the wrong way toward you in traffic. But either way, that's the only place you can look, and you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS if you're the person who gets the answer right.
When you play golf, you don't play against anybody else. You play against yourself. And so scoring better or playing better than the last round is an achievement. So that's the way you should look at it. It's depending on what you're playing. Sometimes it's just how well you do against yourself.
I am really motivated by, oh my God, that pizza was too much for me. I am really motivated by beating others most of the time. And, you know, what is the old saying, right? That the best revenge is a life well lived. I think there's some truth to that, but, you know, in the interest of really, you know, digging in to being better than somebody, I think you need competition. That's always how I've felt. And maybe that's what's giving me gray hair. I don't know. I guess we'll see. Anyway, we got some fun stories today. 6 in total. Then we get the mother load here. Where do you want to start?
RBC, buddy. RBC.
Yeah.
And they keep showing us why Bitcoin is something that people should be looking at. I know this is not a Bitcoin show, but let's be honest. RBC and other banks have given us a lot of reasons why we should look at alternatives. Because there's this lawyer. She was the lawyer that was defending the truckers in Ottawa. So you could say what you want about what she's done. But in terms of this story, her name is Eva Chipayak.
I think it's Chipayak, maybe.
Chipayak. Well, yeah. Butchering names, all kinds. Because she went out on X this past week and she was talking about what happened with her account in RBC. Apparently, they wrote her a letter saying that, well, her account was going to be closed down in the next month. And they gave a rationale for it, which was not really very much besides risk concerns. And her recent activity was outside RBC's client risk appetite, which seems rather odd to me. Because the theory is she was just buying Bitcoin. And that's what probably triggered this. That may be one thing, maybe something else. Maybe her connection to the truckers could be something. I don't know. There's not much else to the story besides this. But I just want to add, remember, they said that her actions, her activity was outside the risk appetite of the bank. RBC, I just want to note, they were recently fined $7.4 million by FinTrack. Why? Because they failed to comply with anti-money laundering and terrorist financing regulations. Mm-hmm. So clearly those activities, which they done, and they were fined, by the way, so they were guilty of doing that, is within RBC's risk appetite. But whatever this lady was doing was not inside the risk appetite that they should. So like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So back to her, they say that they are no longer in a position to serve her, mm-hmm. which means that she's going to have to pick up and go somewhere else. Now she has gone and found a credit union in Alberta that's going to be providing her services moving forward. But could you imagine, you know, you're a loyal customer, you've probably been with them for decades, and there's really nothing you do aside from paying your bills, buying Bitcoin every so often, you know, just a regular old customer. And they send you a letter saying you're no longer going to be in a position to be served by us. Like, why? In Canada and most Western countries, you can't survive without using one of these banks. Mm-hmm. Try living without it. It's very difficult. Every time you get paid, money has to get deposited somewhere in a bank. So you're basically chopping somebody at the knees. This is brutal, this story. Absolutely brutal.
I don't know if I think that it was related to the trucking convoy.
The theory was that she bought Bitcoin.
I know. But
I don't know if that's... It's all
theory. This is what, you know, I'm in a number of Bitcoin group chats and Liberty group chats and all these different, this is a big story basically everywhere I went on the internet for, you know, 3 or 4 days. The commentary that I've seen is that it's related to the trucker convoy, but the ShakePay thing gave cover to the banks to make it happen. I don't believe that's true. I'll tell you why. She's a defense attorney, and I mean, just an attorney at all, really. You're going to be defending people who are unsavory, defending causes that are unpopular, et cetera, et cetera. It's the nature of the game, and it's an important part of legal proceedings to have someone in those seats and with that expertise. I don't think the bank looks at who a lawyer is defending to decide whether or not they are bankable. I think the ShakePay transfer thing actually does sound more like a legitimate reason from the bank's point of view to debank somebody. You and I have fairly recent experience with this. We tried to get bank accounts a number of places for the other show. We're unsuccessful. And when we finally were able to get into someone's office and shake their hand, we got rug pulled over the mail, basically, you know, a couple of months later. And it's always, always, always about Bitcoin. Banks are 20th century financial institutions that are, I think, lost in a lot of ways these days and don't understand the nature of business, don't understand the nature of investing. And at this point, Lem, they don't understand the nature of money either. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear that risk analysts at RBC or branch level risk analysts or somebody who's doing this work and deciding who is bankable or who is outside the risk appetite of the bank doesn't know anything about the risk associated with what they're seeing. They're checking boxes, they're following flow charts, and they're referring to, you know, hastily prepared corporate slide decks to try and figure out who should stay with the service and who shouldn't. It's easy to assign this to nefarious activities, to attribute this to nefarious activities, but I really don't think that's the case, which it sucks either way. And to your point, you need the bank, and the bank shouldn't be able to debank you. Now, it says the ombudsman is going to look into this, but I mean, you and I both know how that's going to turn out. They're all wearing the same jersey in a lot of ways, and I expect that this is going to be the end result. Now, that said, there is a credit union in Alberta. Actually, friend of the show and friend of our show, Bull Bitcoin, uses them and has, you know, partnered with them for a number of different services. Not that this is an ad for either Bull or the credit union, whose name escapes me right now, but the competition for
Bull
people.
River.
Yeah, that's right, Bull River. So the competition for people who are being debanked or find themselves kind of on the outs with traditional institutions is going to heat up. Lawyers have money, Bitcoiners have money, and you know, in Canada, it's very strange, right? We just saw, in no small part thanks to the run-up in Bitcoin's price and crypto more broadly, I will admit, as well, we just saw an American president have to do a campaign stop at the Bitcoin conference in the States. You know, we just saw the president now, there, you know, his SEC trying to basically deregulate all crypto, make sure none of it is securities. Recent guidance from the White House talking about how they do have a plan to initiate a $1 million Bitcoin acquisition process. You know, yesterday or today they put that out. And in Canada, for some reason, we still think it's a scam, I guess, or that it's not a reasonable asset class, or that it's associated with risks or gambling or dark web stuff. We are truly living in an era that's already passed us by, and we just don't. We're never at the tip of the spear for any of this stuff, financial, cultural, you name it, anything related to Bitcoin, we just don't get it. And it shows. And we're going to be left behind. No trade deal with the US, no Bitcoin adjacent policies to compete with America. It's not a surprise. I really do think this is related to Bitcoin, not the convoy. And it's sad more than anything, because people who don't have Bitcoin, thanks to their bank, are going to be, they're going to be in trouble in the next 10 years, I think.
And Canada at one time was the leader in this field. They were the first to have an ETF, at least compared to the United States.
3IQ, that's right. Yep.
And so that was done. There was leveraged ETFs that are available long before in Canada, long before US.
Like, do you remember talking about that on the other show when we were like just babies talking about how the US still had not approved an ETF and Canada was like leveraged options available on everyone's brokerage account? How the tables have turned, man.
Mm-hmm. Our prime minister doesn't seem to be very fond of. He's on the record about being very fond of.
I don't care. I think he said about the price of Bitcoin in 10 years on a stage not long ago, right? So I bet you he cares now.
Maybe not. I don't think so. I really don't. Let's talk about the T app. We'll talk about
I love this story. I love it.
This is an absolute doozy. And for those who are unaware what the T app was, and I'll be honest, I didn't know what it was until this story broke. And it's known as the T dating advice. That's what it's also known as. And so it's a women's only app, and it provides some information for, you can provide it anonymously about men, including their dating advice and reviews. So it's basically, it's putting information about the men that they date.
It's gossip, is what it is.
Right. A Yelp-like service, right? Like, yeah. Right. But there was a hack that happened this 4chan. Jeez, those guys. Gotta give it to them.
No rest for the wicked over there. Eh? Every week they're up to no good.
So in order to use this, you had to have provided selfies, government issued IDs, and they were able to get this information and leak it online. 72,000 images, 13,000 selfies, government IDs, and so on. Just, it's all out there. Not only that, they even got access to the messages that were there. 1.1 million private messages, and the information on that could be damning because there could be some personal information on there. And it's just out there. Now, it's funny because people are saying, this is terrible. This is wrong. This information shouldn't be out there.
Who's saying that? No one on this screen is saying that. I'm not saying that.
Well, it's tit for tat, right? Like, you know, they were doing the exact same thing. They were anonymously posting something about somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Look, it sucks to have this happen. But number one, this type of service was a joke to begin with. Number two, the IT, the security behind it was an absolute disaster. Like, they couldn't manage this information. And it's not like this has been a very long in the tooth website. It's been out for like a long time that they were able to. It's recent. And all of a sudden, as soon as it comes out and gains some popularity, boom, it got hacked. Like, this was just a disaster waiting to happen. And I got to hand it to the people at 4chan because they laid the hammer. They just said that enough is enough. This type of garbage is trash. And I suspect, though, this is not the last we're going to hear of this type of service. Somebody else is going to capitalize on it and say, we're going to provide better security. And they probably will. And they'll be able to make money because there's going to be a lot of revenue you could generate through advertisements, and maybe even sponsorships services you could sell, whatever. This type of service sucks, but I think there's going to be a market for this moving forward, especially one that's going to say, look, we can provide better and private services. But for the time being, a lot of people out there. Oh, by the way, I forgot to add that website. I'm not sure if you saw it about ranking individuals. I'm not sure if you've seen that.
The win-loss percentage.
Like, and some of the ones that are in the top 10 are just, it's, I don't know what it is, like a picture of a desk or something. Like, just wonderful stuff. Like, the amount of humor in this is off the chart. You couldn't write a better script.
I'm going to try not to get fired by corporate here. I have never been happier about a leak, at least not in my recent memory, than I am about this one. The app was celebrated on social media for being vibe coded by women only and for women only. And Len, they used, I think, some kind of pastebin repository for the images on some sharing site. I forget what share site, not Google Drive. Actually, it might have been Google Drive. I forget, but easily hacked, basically. No security, no encryption, no nothing. And by the way, in the sign up and registration flow for the app, what do you think it said about the selfies? Don't worry, them after. And that turned out to be not true. So,
they could say they're going to do it in a year or two from now.
I'll tell you, they didn't do it in the meantime. No. And here's the problem, right? That's problem number one. Number two, you know, I as someone who, dated a lot in his early 20s, I will tell you that there is no more difficult thing to overcome reputationally than the gossip of a woman scorned. And I am not shy in asserting that there is no good way to break up with a woman in the age of the internet. There is no good way to try to convince somebody who has been convinced by someone on one of these apps that you're a decent guy because you didn't follow through with a plan with somebody, or decided that you didn't vibe, you know, chemistry wise, physically, whatever, upon meeting them. And this is damaging to the dating world, and in so doing also damages, I think, family formation and general gender relations in Canada and other places where stuff like this exists. I think it's poisoning the well in a lot of ways. Now, the best part, here's where I'll try not to get fired. Every woman's selfie on there is a literal swamp donkey, terrible looking, overweight. And you just know, if you've ever been on dating apps, not that you have, I have, if you've ever been on dating apps, you know that these women are not using those pictures on dating apps. And so naturally, when you go to meet somebody whom you've only seen in pictures, you're expecting to see the same person from the picture, not, you know, a woman who's had three bags of Doritos a week and drinks a bottle of wine every Saturday and Sunday, has aged 5 years and put on 30 pounds, or, you know, suddenly is no longer the contortionist you saw in the picture. Oftentimes you see these weird angles, people's chins touching the ceiling, trying to make sure that every bit of skin is stretched out, thinned out, and pulled back so they look good in the pictures. I have no sympathy for these people. None. Zero. Just to try and get a level opinion on this, I shared the story with my wife around the same time we talked about it with Mark and Maria to get it into AOE. She said the same thing. I think any sane person would feel this way about this app, because much like Are We Dating the Same Guy in New York or Yik Yak from years ago, where you could share anonymous stuff on university campuses, this app does nothing to solve any of the problems it claims to be targeting. It just makes them worse and just makes people withdraw and just makes people afraid to be themselves and just makes, it's not right. And I could not be happier that this thing crashed and burned. I actually understand that there's been an additional leak as well of locations, and some of the locations, you know, places you could expect, right? Shopping York, malls, California. Starbucks. No, actually, sorry, Len, not Starbucks or shopping malls, military bases in the United States. In one case, a secret unlisted military base. So you get a military ID and a location matching that ID for a what is presumably a base that is not listed anywhere. How about that? That's interesting, eh? Like, you just, it's the mistakes run deep, the inadequacy runs deep, and I'm thrilled to see this thing blow up and burn. I hope there's more leaks and more fun stories to come out of this, honestly.
I think this one's pretty much run its course. There's going to be an alternative app that comes out that's going to be competing against.
What are you thinking? Well, one for guys to talk about women?
No. The same, that from the ashes will rise another one like this. Is obviously there's a market for it.
It's
and
true.
If there's a market, yeah, for, they're going to try to maximize and get every.
As long as there are losers out there, there will be ways to have them part with their money for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of parting with money, let's talk about Clorox and right, it's the bleach company, right? And other cleaning products. Well, they were hit with a cyber attack and it really messed things up with their business huge. And they're pissed at another company called Cognizant, which was supposed to help them with their computer systems. And Clorox is basically saying that they messed up, Cognizant messed up, and hackers tricked their help desk into giving them access to the network by resetting passwords and without properly checking who they are. So Cognizant apparently was giving away MFA credentials and resetting passwords without any verification whatsoever. And then the attackers were able to access Clorox's network and go from there. And Clorox claimed that they had to stop their factories from working, and they say they lost millions, if not hundreds of millions, in sales from this. I'm not sure if that's the case, but whatever. They're suing them for $380 million. Clorox is suing Cognizant. That's a huge amount. And so Cognizant is saying, look,
can I stop you here? Can we talk about the name Cognizant as a IT security provider?
Sure. Do you want to rank
are we
it?
Going, are, like, I mean, we could. It's an obvious zero. Or, but they tried to spice it up with the Z in there, I think. I don't know if that's how you actually spell Cognizant. I doubt it. Be careful, companies that name themselves things like this.
Although this rebrand. We'll be talking about rebranding later on in the show.
Yeah. Sure.
Right,
sure.
But they could just simply rebrand, put an S instead of a Z, and then go from there. Clorox. So Cognizant was saying that Clorox's own security was weak, and Cognizant's job was just to provide basic help, not be in charge of the cybersecurity.
Oh my God.
But they're the ones that reset the passwords. And anyways, going on, the Scattered Spider Group, this is a name that's been coming on this show, where we talked about a lot in the past little while. Apparently they're the ones that were behind this attack. I would have never expected Clorox to be also named in this show ever, but here we are. I'll never look at a bottle of bleach from Clorox the same way. Can't believe they lost that much money, or at least they claim they are. Suing with $380 million. Good That's luck. Are they worth $380 million? I don't have a clue.
They should have tried non-compliance with terrorist financing laws. It would have been cheaper. The screenshot in the article of the support chat, incredible stuff. The Cognizant agent, how can I help you today? Cyber criminal. My password on Okta was not working. Agent, okay, I'm going to have your password reset from my end right away, and we'll see how it's going to work. Okay, brief hold. Thank you. I'm extremely sorry for the long hold. So your password is Clorox at 123. Criminal, what's that? Yeah, it's Clorox at 123, okay? Criminal, yep. Agent, want me to wait over the phone while you're trying it? Cyber criminal, yeah, please. Agent, sure. where's the security in that? That sounds terrible. We talk about socially engineering support reps sometimes. There's not even any social engineering going on there.
They just basically ask and we're given the cue. Right? Yeah. Those are the kind of people growing up. They must have been lending their car out to anybody who asked.
They're trading all the best Pokemon cards for all the worst Pokemon cards in the schoolyard. I'll tell you that. The guy's got a binder full of energy cards.
Anyway, let's talk about Bill C2 from Canada, this proposed bill. Right now, it's in second reading in the House of Commons, so still in the very early stages. And also, this is being thrown around the name of the Strong Borders Act, right? And remember all the stuff they're trying to shove in this. They're just talking about borders, but there could be a lot more. We'll talk about them more here, because it could be opening up the door for a lot of surveillance by U.S. agencies. And they're saying that if the bill passes, it will make it a heck of a lot easier for Canadian police and spy agencies to get your online information, even without a proper warrant. And they could do this based on reasonable suspicion. And they say that companies could hand over large amounts of data quickly. And they may even say that they could force companies to build special way to do surveillance and build surveillance in their products. And then this could be shared with the U.S., like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF. They could get involved here. And if they ask for information, this information could be shared with them. Man, it's like everything on your computer, your phone, those internet, those IoT devices you have, they could be used as a way, like a Trojan horse for U.S. surveillance. And a lot more data could be shared with Canadian officials, U.S. officials, and for what? Like, this is obviously trending in the wrong. This is supposed to be a border bill.
Yeah.
And they're shoving all this other stuff in it. Like, it's kind of like almost a bait and switch type thing.
So you have EFF, Canadian Civil Liberties Association, Open Media, Citizen Lab. A friend of the show, Michael Geist, has talked about it. Mark has talked about it. We have talked about it on our show. This is the Canadian Patriot Act, basically, right? Warrantless surveillance, warrantless information gathering, warrantless private data access, all under the veil of reasonable suspicion. When we talk about Bitcoin on this show, sometimes it feels to me like we're shoehorning it, just because for us, everything is sort of Bitcoin related, right? I look at things and I think about like how Bitcoin remedies these problems, whether it's in money or in value or whatever, privacy and self-cut, all these things. But when you look at a bill like this, you have to start thinking about the digital panopticon that is like not even slowly anymore, but more rapidly than ever before forming around you. For people who don't know what a panopticon is, I use that word on the show all the time, but I never actually describe it. Panopticon is a term in, I think it's like penitentiary security where it originated, where basically it's a way to have one person or one entity monitor many, many, many more people or entities from a single location. So consider the way a jail tower is built with one watchtower and one guard, or one watchtower and one guard per floor, let's say, in the middle, and around the tower at a safe distance. Usually there's a gap, you know, a balcony on the prisoner side and then a balcony on the guard tower side with a gap in between. All the prisoners are around the tower. So one person can really do a lot of surveilling without really being close enough to be in danger or needing to really move much to get a full 360 view of what's around them. It seems to me that the state is doing this in a lot of ways too. You may have also noticed, Len, not just on C2, but in the US, they're actually trying to expand the 5 special powers of the Patriot Act to 6 to include freezing and redirecting onshore and offshore crypto transactions.
Wonderful.
Yeah, when there's a reasonable suspicion that it's criminal adjacent, proceeds of crime, supporting crime, whatever the term is, I forget now or the terminology is, but you're seeing this everywhere. And so if you think that you can avoid this in the current state of affairs with the current tool set you have, I would just ask, like, give me like 300 words on how, because the bank will shut you down. The police will open your mail. They'll be able to look at your computer. They'll be able to look at your texts. They're trying to get Apple and other providers to put in backdoors. So far, those providers have held their ground, but I don't know how much longer that's going to last. Soon there will be an encryption ban on stuff like Signal and Telegram. You know, you won't be allowed to use those apps anymore, or they'll be viewed as criminal adjacent and part of this reasonable suspicion of illicit activity. Like, these things are not that far away, and people are just like kind of moseying along, you know, buying vegan burgers at the local Metro or whatever. You're being watched at all times. The thumb is coming down on top of you, and you need Bitcoin. That is the thing that's going to help you through this. To quote friend of our show and friend of this show as well, Hrvoje Morić, if you don't use privacy tools, you will be just another citizen in the algorithm ghetto, moving from suggested content bit to suggested content bit, doing the things that you're allowed to do, behavioral nudges, driving your activities. You don't want that, but it seems to be the way we're going. And people are just ignoring it. They think it's like hyperbolic, or they think it's conspiratorial or whatever. But I mean, how can you look at this and think that any of it is a thought experiment anymore? It's reality, and it's happening fast.
Okay, let's talk about this Leak Zone. It's a big online forum. Be honest, I never heard of it before.
Me neither. We've never talked about it on the show. We talk about a lot of these forums where stuff ends up, but never this one.
So
Leak Zone sounds like a place at like a plumber's playpen or something. Welcome to the Leak Zone.
it almost sounds like very childish to me, like a place where, I don't know. Anyways, it's a place that is used by cyber criminals to share stolen information and hacking tools, but accidentally they exposed a huge amount of data for their users. And so it's like, you know, it's like a group of burglars, right? They meet in a secret hideout, but then they try to plan their crimes there. And then, you know, the hideout is accidentally broadcast the names and addresses of all the burglars out there to the police. That's pretty much what happened here, because this information is now out there, and security experts, they could do an investigation on this, and they could see that, well, right now there's 22 million records that are out there, over 100,000 members there. And anybody who's combing through this could easily identify somebody, even if they try to hide their identity. It's still, they're able to kind of track this. And so law enforcement out there just gave them a lot of tools now to go after some of these people. Even not only law enforcement, but rival criminals too. Like, they could go out there as a way for retribution, so to speak. And so, like, it's pretty pathetic. Like, it's another, you'd figure if anybody would know how to secure their information were the people of this Leak Zone stuff. But even that, they have no clue. But they believe that it was just a simple mistake by somebody. That's the one that was a mistake
for sure. I don't know if it was a simple mistake. But,
they say it's been fixed at the same time. So it's like the horse that left the barn, closing it now. It doesn't absolutely nothing. I don't know. it's a pretty stupid story, but I've never heard of this Leak Zone before.
Me neither. I have no additional comment here. It is pretty funny though that a bunch of guys who are running a forum or operating an online repository of presumably stolen, you can call it Leak Zone, but it's actually stolen data zone. They couldn't figure out how to secure their own users. So, you know, chickens come home to roost, I guess, is the way the saying goes.
Okay, this at ransomware, everybody knows that this thing, you know, you hold people's information hostage for money and demand payment for unlocking it. Black Suit, this ransomware group, they were out there, and law enforcement was out there, and they managed to shut down their operations, making it harder for them to continue. But it looks like they popped up again. They slapped on a new coat of paint, and now they're calling themselves Chaos. And not the first time they did this, too. I'll talk about that in a second. Experts believe that Chaos involves many of the members that used to be part of Black Suit. It's just, you know, the old group disbanded, created a new one, and here we are. And Chaos started operating in early 2025, and they're focusing on big targets out there, mainly those in the United States. They're trying to trick people into giving them access to their computers, often by using fake calls or spam messages. If spamming messages is an interesting way of doing it, I mean, you just capitulate, oh, I can't enough. I'll stop with the spam. I'll give you anything you want.
Here's my credit card info.
You take it. Just start, stop spending me. But either way, they say once they get in, they steal information, important information. They encrypt the computer files, and they demand large sums of money, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they use some tricky methods to avoid getting captured or caught in process. And so Chaos, using similar methods to Black Suit, and Black Suit themselves was rebranded from an older group called Royal, which they themselves came from another group called Conti. And it's just like they constantly change their names to avoid being captured by the law enforcement. So it's just a new group, but the same old tactics, the same old people. And yeah, what could you say? This is, I just find it funny. Like, they just change the name, change the logo. Thumbs up, man. We can start again. I love it.
A little catch me if you can action. I want to know more about this spam message thing. Also, Cisco has a diagram on the article, the diamond model of Chaos ransomware threat. I think this is a bit of a reach here. I don't know what the diamond model means. It basically just four parts. That one of the parts of the diamond, one of the points of the diamond is their name, Chaos Ransomware Group. The second point is their capabilities. The third point is their victims. And the fourth point is infrastructure. I don't see how that's a diamond model of the ransomware threat. I think it's just a list of things they have and a list of people they target. Anyway, I want to start spamming messages to people all the time. I think I may try doing this with some people who I'm, you know, trying to get money from for football. You know, if I just keep spamming them messages, will they finally send me my $190? I don't know. I should try that.
Did you start the season?
Yeah, season's like halfway done. If not, it's all the way done.
But I get that. You know what? I have to say, those people are scum to not pay up at the very beginning of the year. If you don't have the money, don't play.
Yeah.
Why do you have to constantly be harassed to pay?
It is what it is, man. I was saying to a couple of buddies on the team, we usually take turns paying. And, you know, there was a time when I used to pay like $20 a week until I made my total when I was working at the pawn shop and going to teacher's college and doing all these things. I had no money. And I just think, like, you know, I would do that for if some young guy on our team needed that set up, I would do it. But spam them, I can maybe get it all at once.
Yeah, let's send this Chaos group after them. Right,
the diamond model, diamond threat model. Send them in.
You know what? Anyway. If you don't do it quick, they're going to change your name again. when you send an email, it's going to go return to sender.
Bounce back. We're not called that anymore. So, under new management. That's it. That's it for this week. Latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And Len, I think next week we're going to have a fun story about the city of Hamilton that I just sent to Mark. They were the victim of, at this point, I think a 3-year ransomware attack. And
correction, you are the victim.
I am the victim. That's right. Yeah. For a number of reasons. We'll talk about that next week, I hope. But until then, take care of yourselves and enjoy your long weekend. Summer's almost over, so don't waste it.